learn some of the halakhot of Rosh Hashanah and actually Yom Elul and hopefully some of the Rosh Hashanah halakhot. So first I wanted to start with the Hakdama of Rav Ovadia Yosef on Chazon Ovadia. He has a very interesting introduction to the Sefer. He writes as follows. He says that he brings one of the Sefarim of Rabbeinu Arizal in Shara Gilgulim, that Rabbeinu Arizal, who lived around 550 years ago, he writes that ki ein gedolat hanefesh teluya kefi ma'aseh ha'adam bilvad. The greatness of a person's soul is not according to the deeds that what he performs and what he does. Ella kefi azeman v'hador kefi azeman v'hador ha'u is according to the generation and according to the time. That means you could have an individual that maybe he didn't perform such great deeds, but according to the you calculate based on the generation. He says ma'aseh katan be'aseh ha'Torah v'ha'mitzvot bedorot halalu. Shakul keneged kama mitzvot gedolot shebedorot shelefanenu. He says you could have a ma'aseh katan, a small minute deed. However, he says such a deed, it is, if it is done in later generations, already from 550 years ago he's talking about, in the later generations, it's going to be looked upon as ma'aseh gadol shebedorot shelefanenu. It's a, like a great, great deed from previous generations. So, ki bedorot elu hasitra achra goveret me'od al enketz. Because already from the times of the Rabbeinu Arizal, he says that till the sitra achra, which is the side of tum'ah, is unimaginably powerful. Being that it's so powerful, so then automatically, being that we are fighting against such an enemy, such a yitzhara that did not exist in previous generations, so therefore the minutest deed that a person does and performs is going to be calculated according to the dor vazeman, generation at the times. So therefore, minute deed, being that you have such large obstacles, is going to be considered to be a tremendously big action on your part. So therefore, according to this, he wants to explain a very interesting mashal. He says, "Ubesefarim aru mashal alze." There is a very interesting mashal. That it says there was a queen that the king used to consult with her at all times. And this queen was very beloved by the nation. And of course, anybody who had to, let's say, get something done in the country, they had two approaches. Either they could go through the court system, and that would be one option. The other option would be to approach the queen. And generally, the practice was, I'm not saying that it's correct, but I said the practice was, it's a mashal anyway. But the practice was that they used to bring to the queen certain, let's say, jewelry, diamond, or $100,000, whatever it would be, in order to appease her that this way she should approach the king, and the king should be willing to allow them, let's say, to do whatever they desire, as long as it's not, wasn't illegal, to allow the king to stamp their papers and allow them to do what they want to do. So the mashal goes that eventually this queen ended up having many enemies, and they set her up. They made a setup against her that he wanted to poison the king. So but let me say it wasn't true, but nevertheless, meanwhile, the police, being that they had to go through the investigation, they caught the queen, they put her in prison, and in the interim, she was suffering tremendously. So during the duration of the time that the queen was in prison, there were individuals who really took care of her. Anyway, you know, there were some individuals that brought her, let's say, cookies, pillows, blanket, tea, coffee, whatever she needed in order to be able to have a more comfortable stay in the prison. So later on, they were able to prove that the whole thing was false accusations. There was no such thing. She was 100%, an individual that the king could trust. So she came back to the palace. So what happened was that then she asks, "Do me a favor, bring me all of the give me all of the papers, individuals that brought me during the duration of the time that I was in the prison, give me all individuals that provided me services. So this individual, let's say, provided her with a pillow, the other one with the tea or with the cookies. So gave them, took care of them, the queen, completely, whatever they desired, she took care of them. So the answer is basically obvious. When she is not imprisoned, in order for the queen to take care of you, you had to give her $100,000, diamonds, jewelry, whatever it is. But when she's suffering in the prison, it's sufficient for a basic cookie to appease her. So this is the idea that we are also in this such a situation. He says, imagine Shekhinah is suffering galut together with Kelal Israel. Being that Shekhinah is in galut and suffering with Kelal Israel, minutest cookie could be considered like $100,000. So at the end of the day, that's all what it takes for a person to be able to be zoche to tremendous, tremendous gadlut. The harder it is, the times, you know, we have so many different types of obstacles, so then the minutest deed could get to be considered to be a tremendous deed nevertheless. So this is the example that the person gets to understand already from 550 years ago, how much more so today, that Rabbeinu Arizal used to say this to his Talmidim, that according to the generation and according to the problems and the obstacles, that's how you could evaluate the level of the individual. So, having said that, so it's now we start with some of the minhagim and the halachot of during the Yemei HaSelichot and Yemei Elul. We know that basically the Sephardim have a custom based on the fact that there were 340 days episodes from 340 days that from Shavuot all the way till Shivasar Betamuz, when the first Luchot were broken, that was first 40 days. When the when the Jews were found to be doing Egel Azov, and then you have from then till Elul is second 40 days, and then from Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, till the 10th of Tishrei is the third 40 days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael completely, and Moshe Rabbeinu came down with Luchot Sheniot, with second tablets that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them on Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, these 40 days are considered to be Yemei Rachamim V'Ratzon for Am Yisrael throughout the years, being that originally that's how it was initiated. And generally, the first time, let's say, the first day of the creation of mankind is Rosh Hashanah. And that day, Adam and Shon sinned. And that day, according to some version, that day he was thrown out of Gan Eden. Some say, no, Motzai Shabbat, he was thrown out. But let me say, that day ended up being the judgment day. That was Rosh Hashanah, the first day that Adam and Shon was created. So therefore, the first time an instrument is used, that's going to be, basically, you could come to understand that tendency is going to remain with it. So the first time the instrument was used, a metal instrument was used, they say it was used to be able to, that kind should be able to kill Hevel. So at the end, it has such a tendency that we should make sure that at the Shulchan, when we say Bikat HaMazon, there is no metal, etc. There is no knife. So the bottom line, there is such a thing, the first time. What happened on the first time that day came to be? So when the Jewish nation came to being, the first 40 days after that episode, from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom HaKippurim, were the days that were designated for Yom Mechilas Lecha V'Kapara, that was Yom HaKippurim. So these 40 days preceding to Yom HaKippurim are Yemei Ratzon also, that a person should use it properly to be able to acquire kapara from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So anytime that anybody that wants to say Selichot is supposed to be said before Shacharit. That would be the preferred time. Even is better than Chatzot. Chatzot right now is about around 1 o'clock, let's say 1 a.m. But that would be one option. earlier than Chatzot, Rav Ovadia and many other poskim bring that it's better for a person not to be participating rather than participating. Says because it's worse to say Selichot before Chatzot than not to say it at all. Before Chatzot, which means before 1 a.m. It's better that a person should not participate, even if they need a minyan, don't participate. It's better not to be there. But in general, it's better that the most preferred time to say Selichot by man is before Tefillat Shacharit, early hours in the morning. If a person cannot wake up so early, so he wakes up a little bit later, as long as he could get to his job. But that is also very important nekuda that I mentioned, that based on this point, that if a person is an employee and he has to provide services not only based on quantity, also quality. That's lefi alakha. So therefore, if a person stays up too late, there are certain times the person is not required halachically and he wants to be fasting, and then by fasting you're not going to be able to provide proper services, or you're a teacher in a yeshiva, whatever might be the case, as long as you're an employee, so it's not only quantity, it's quality also. So a person cannot basically, once he's fasting, once he's not having sufficient amount of sleep, he's not going to be able to provide the same. So he would not be allowed to stay up late hours at night, in general, throughout the year, or fast any fast days that is not required. That's across the board. So let's say, if it would be such a case, let's say coming up, is going to be Hoshana Rabbah. And a person, let's say, the next day, which is the Hoshana Rabbah, is going to be on a Wednesday. Wednesday night is going to be Shemini Atzeret. So a person, let's say Tuesday night, wants to stay up the whole night. But you are an employee. You're not going to be able to function. If you would be the boss, so it's your decision. You know, you don't have to attend. If you could handle it without attending your business, that's fine also. But if a person, let's say, is only an employee, then nothing doing. He would not be allowed, if he would not be able to function, that's basically the assumption, he would not be allowed unless he has a specific permission, which is hardly unlikely that he should give you so. But nevertheless, otherwise he would not be allowed to stay up that late. He could stay, let's say, till 12 o'clock, till 1 o'clock, whatever it is. But in general, that's the halachic criteria. The same would go over here. If he sees by getting up early hours in the morning, he's not going to be able to function, so he would not be allowed to get up so early. He should try to say, he should say, by men, they are supposed to say, you know, it says, as if to say, la'avdil, they say, an example to this also, that an individual who is going to perform, let's say, in a symphony. So let's say you're playing a violin. So it's not going to be just, okay, I know it already, so I'm going to just attend at the time of the function. I'm going to play together with other musicians. You have to practice. And it takes perhaps months and years till you have the perfect scenario that you are ready now for performance. So then Lahavdil is a similar idea, that it's not going to be, okay, Yom Kippur comes, I'm ready, let me just come and say the machzor from the beginning to end. A person has to work on himself, that eventually, gradually, about after 40 days, hopefully a person is ready for the day of Yom HaKippurim. So the ma'aseh, a person has to say the selichot, has to get himself ready. We have to do extra levels of Torah, mitzvot, gemilut chasadim, to be able to get ourselves ready for the day. So anyway, so that is a nekuda that a person should recognize. Next, when it comes to Yud Gimel Midot, so as I mentioned, the times of Rachamim is either after Chatzot, before Chatzot, nothing doing, Chatzot of the night, which is 1 a.m., you should not say Selichot at night at all. If the option of early morning, let's say if a person, let's say, prays at 7 o'clock minyan, so he says in the morning 6:15 the Selichot, or whatever it is, 8 o'clock minyan, you say that 7:15 Selichot. And if that time cannot work, then you could say before Mincha in the afternoon. That's also another thing. But if a person is not saying it together with the tzibur, with 10 people, any parts that is Aramaic, he has to skip. And also, Yud Gimel Midot, if a person doesn't know the Ta'amim, which means he doesn't know how to read the Torah according to the Ta'amim of the Torah, then he has to skip that also. Next, at all times, when it comes to every mitzvah, a person is supposed to first and foremost emphasize the mitzvah itself, and then work on additional points, additional midot tovot. You cannot let go of the ikar and take care of the tafel. And that means a person cannot take the secondary and forget about the main thing. That is, in general, that's the case. For example, let's say individuals that come for selichot, and then for tefillah, they leave. Or similar to this, a person has to work, what is the main thing, and then to add additional chumrot, additional stringencies, etc. during this season. But I say that is the nekuda across the board. What is my main tachlit? What is my main purpose in Avodat Hashem? And add additional points to it. You cannot just emphasize on the side points. So that's what the person has to know. The main thing it would be, let's say, the limud Torah, learning Torah, doing of more chasadim, being more careful about the mitzvot. And selichot is also part of it, but it's not saying of the selichot alone will not be sufficient. Okay. He says the Chodesh Elul, Zman Hamatim Lefashvesh Masaf. During the whole entire month, a person is supposed to check out his own personal deeds. Ulharbot b'Torah u'Masim Tovim, as I mentioned, to learn much more Torah than usual, do more good deeds than usual. Velashu b'Teshuva, and try to rectify and correct our wrong deeds. So that means if we have done anything that is bad, we have to try to eliminate it, and anything that is good, we try to perfect it. So that's why they say, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Salanter used to say that therefore a person has to know, I have to know myself, I have to get to know my midot ra'ot and midot tovot, what I do good and what I do bad. Says Rabbi Salanter, he says, so what I do bad, I have to cancel, what I do good, I have to perfect it. So he says, if a person doesn't know his bad deeds, he is sick. Says Rabbi Sal Salanter, if he doesn't know his good deeds, then he's dead. Because how can it be that a person doesn't know his good deeds in order to be able to perfect it, to do more of those? So then, Lema say, that is the Chodesh Elul is for this purpose. And therefore, there is a custom, that basically mostly by Ashkenazim, but also by Sephardim, Rabbi brings in the footnote also, that they also do the tekiyot during this time up until Rosh Hashanah, and not including Erev Rosh Hashanah. So, to blow the shofar, to be able to awaken within us the feeling of teshuvah, which is in the air. The atmosphere of teshuvah, that Yamim Noraim, means the days of fear, fearful days. That it says Rav Palm used to call it awesome days, not days of awe, awesome days. That the bottom line, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed fear in the air, in the atmosphere for everyone to be able to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that feeling of fear, that what's going to be on the day of the judgment. So Lema'aseh says that besides this, anytime that a person prays in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the Lachash, and we get to the tefillah of Hashivenu Avinu LeTorateicha. Hashivenu, he says, we should really use the opportunity to, in the middle, to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu help. Hashivenu Avinu refers to us, ourselves. We want to return to you. But besides this, help us to these individuals, he says, that are close to us, and they need to do teshuvah. He says, "Bifrat imhem kerovav," especially if they are their his close relatives. He says, "Being that these are the yemei ratzon, and tefillah helps in general, and especially during this season, so a person should pray on their behalf. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help them, that they should be zoche to do teshuvah." That is one of the questions that is asked, that I believe the Maharsha asks, and he offers three reasons. That he says, that hakol bide shamayim chutz meirat shamayim. That the basic, the Gemara says everything is in the hand of Hashem except fear of Hashem. So if that's the case, fear of Hashem, Shemirat HaMitzvot, is up to the individual to decide. If that's the case, why is it that he pray for anybody? That Hashem help him to do Torah and Mitzvot. It's up to him to decide. Why my prayer will not do much. So one of the answers that he gives, he says that Retzonenu la'asot retzon avinu shebashamayim. Every Jew wants to do and fulfill the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mimi Akev, who holds him back? Says Tzeor Shebe Yisrael. The Yetzirah, the Satan, holds him back. So therefore, if it wouldn't be that there is such an obstacle in front of the Jew, so the Jew who himself knows that the right approach would be to observe the Torah and Mitzvot. He knows and he wants. Not only that he knows, he wants it also. So when we pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him to be able to fulfill his purpose as a Jew, our prayer is that those obstacles that are standing in front of him should be removed, and therefore this individual will be zoche to do teshuva shelema. So therefore it's written that during the time of Elul, it's proper for a person to pray for these individuals. Besides, it says, besides ourselves, a person sometimes, they say also, that on the day of Rosh Hashanah, we are accepting God as the king of the universe. So sometimes a person says God is a king on all the galaxies and the entire universe, and we forget ourselves that God is a king over, God is the king over us. So a person should pray for himself. That's the first and foremost during this time. No. Regarding this nekuda, regarding this point, Hashivenu Avinu LeTorateicha. Then in the middle, just before. Just before the last text, if can you do this, you do. So this is Rav Ovadia brings this. That's Maharsha. One of the answers Maharsha gives that answer. That every Jew wants to do. So all what I'm asking is not, I'm asking Hashem. He wasn't created a robot. Hashem doesn't create robots. Everybody has his own free choice. But the desire of a Jew, the neshama of a Jew wants to come back. But the problem is, it says that Seor Shebe Isa. So that is the yeast. That's the Yetzirah that prevents. So anyway, so it's over here. Hashivenu Avinu LeTorateicha, VeKarvenu Mankun LeAvodateicha, VeHachzirenu BeTshuva Shelema LeFanecha. So before we say VeHachzirenu BeTshuva Shelema LeFanecha, a person is supposed to ask certain, let's say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu help that every individual that, this individual, you say the person in his mother's name, should be zoche to fulfill the Torah and Mitzvot. And then you say, Ba'achzirinu b'tshuva shalema lefanecha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Arotze b'tshuva. And, okay. So that is the point. Next. So, there is a custom for individuals, if they have not checked their tefillin and mezuzot 3.5 years, they should check it. And even if they did check, then there is midat chasidut to check it every Elul. That's extra level of piety. Halachically, tefillin and mezuzot, they require checking to be checked by a sofer mumche, expert sofer, every 3.5 years. Next would be mutal asod nisuim b'chol yom yemei chodesh Elul. Some people imagine that being that is the days of fear, so therefore it's not right for a person to get married. It's nothing doing, just the opposite. It says that a person should not postpone till after yemei hadin. If you Baruch Hashem, if a person let's say proposed, and there is sufficient amount of time, they could schedule it during this time, meaning that this is an additional zechut for an individual who is already on top of it, is also Baruch Hashem married. Next, it's we already wish individuals from this time, the Shana Tova, Tekatevu V'Techatemu, or Ketiva V'Chatimah Tova. This is already, let's say, if a person writes a letter, that will be the proper way to be able to mention it. So if you remember, you know, then he deals with halakhot of Shaliach Tzibur. Shaliach Tzibur, there are certain criteria that he's supposed to have that the Shulchan Aruch discusses. What are those criteria? So in general, the Shaliach Tzibur is supposed to be, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, he says an individual who is befitting, Reikon Me'averot, empty of sins, and let's say he is humble and people like him, and he has this midah of Ma'avir al-Midotav, which means forgiving nature, that even if somebody wronged him, he's not going to wrong another person. Then at this point now, the Shulchan Aruch says Kolo Arev, which means he has a nice voice. Veragilik Rod Vatorah Nevi'im Ketuvim. And he has, Baruch Hashem, he knows the Pesukim of Torah Nevi'im Ketuvim, that when it comes to prayer, he's not going to mumble, he's going to be able to know the sentences properly to say them. So the best of the best would be that also the other criteria are that he should be older than 30, he should have wife and kids. These are all the khatfila. But the idea is that he himself should be Shomer Torah Mitzvot. The more Shomer Torah Mitzvot that he is, that is our representative, he's our lawyer. So he has to himself be observant when he wants to defend the rest of the congregation. However, this is what I mentioned also, I believe, last year as well, being that it is very crucial that in few places this halakha is mentioned. One is over here in Halakhot Yamin Nuraim. Another place is Halakhot Shechita, that the shochet of the town, let's say he would be a God-fearing individual, every day he is keeping Torah Mitzvot, learning, etc. However, his kids go to secular schools. In Eretz Yisrael it would be secular, in America it would be public. So he says like this, he says, even if he himself is Ledaktek Me'ot, He is mamash totally observant. But nevertheless, if his children are studying bebate sefer she'ena mechanchim le'yirat shamayim, in schools that they don't teach students fear of God, so it says v'shaleach tzibur she'sholeach et banav lebate sefer chilulim, he sends them to secular places. Many times the teachers themselves are non-believers, and then they teach the kids ways of and patterns of life which is against the Torah and its values. He says then this individual, even on a once in a while thing, he cannot be a Shaliach Tzibur. He says, I have your side. I'm sorry, I apologize. But he says, the Rabbi Ovadia says, you cannot eat his Shechita. He brings many sources to this. Once that would be the attitude, then a person has to understand, he says, because the Yirat Shamayim of the person is considered to be minasafa velachutz, from his only lip service. If you would be truly God-fearing, you would not even contemplate the idea that the child should be educated in such a school. So therefore, a person that does that automatically can no longer serve as the Shaliach Tzibur. Then he continues to say as follows. He says, imagine also another criteria. He says that let's say two Jews have some kind of argument regarding certain financial situation, and instead of going to a Bedin, they go to a secular court. He says that's also another thing. Pasulu liyod Shaliach Tzibur. If you are the one who took to another Jew, it's a Jew and a non-Jew, so he could go to secular court. When it's a Jew and a Jew, they are obligated to go to a Bedin. So if they go to a secular court instead, so therefore the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch has major lashonot and expressions that indicates that this individual is rejecting the Torah, and Herim Yad Keneged Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, is as if he raised his hand against the Torah. He is Kofer and Epicurus, many languages. And Rabbi Akiva Eger, I believe he says that if he gets money from secular court, that if he would have gone to a yeshiva, to a Bedin, they wouldn't have given it to him. So then that money is Gezel Beyado. And if he uses that money to buy a ring, to marry a wife, His marriage is not marriage, because halakhically, according to Torah, it wouldn't have been given to him. So anyway, so again, so also he cannot be Eshaliach Tzibur for Yamim Noraim. So Erev Rosh Hashanah already, Rosh Hashanah is going to be Wednesday night and Thursday. So that's the first day, and Friday is the second day. The person has to do Wednesday in the morning. He says in the morning by Shacharit, we don't do Nefilat Apayim and Tachanunim. Only if it is earlier hours, that before sunrise, which probably is going to be around 6:20, 6:25 maybe, a person before sunrise, if he's saying Selichot, he could still do Nefilat Apayim in the Selichot. But already after sunrise, if you're doing Selichot or you're doing the Tefilat Shacharit of that Wednesday morning prior, the day before Rosh Hashanah, the day Erev Rosh Hashanah, you being that is similar to El Yom Tov, so he says you don't say Vidui at that time. You don't say Tachanunim at that time. It is a proper minhag for men to go to mikveh, and if it's been already a month since last time they got a haircut, it's proper for a person that's a proper preparation to also get a haircut. Next would be also, it says, "Lovshim begadim mechubasim meguhasim lichvod Yom Tov." Any time that in honor of Yom Tov, a person is supposed to wear the best suit. In the olden days, they used to have a special garment when they would attend, let's say, a function of a wedding. Second level would be for Yomim Tovim. Third level would be for Shabbat. Fourth level would be for Rosh Chodesh, and ultimately then would be for weekday. But nowadays, we only have Shabbat and weekday. So Yom Tov and Shabbat, and let's say by a wedding, a person is supposed to wear the nice clothing that they have in order to be able to be Mesameach Chatam V'Kalam, or for the sake of honor of Shabbat, and that applies the entire Shabbat. Doesn't apply, of course, when a person goes to sleep, that's a separate story. But any time that if it's written in Halakha, that even if a person would be not coming to shul at all, or there is no shul, he's in a location that there is no shul. So at the end of the day, you are supposed to wear the nicest garment. It has nothing to do whether other people see you or not. It has to do with you and Shabbat, you and Yom Tov. So a person is supposed to wear the nice clothing anyway. There is a custom to do Hatarat Nedarim. Hatarat Nedarim is, besides other days, he says, supposed to be Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom HaKippurim. And it's a very interesting nekuda. The Hatarat Nedarim is supposed to be for Nedarim that the person has forgotten. I don't remember what's what. But other than that, the person is supposed to do Hatarat Nedarim. If he remembers a specific neder stringency that he or she accepted, and they cannot continue keeping it, so they have to come to three individuals that know the halachot to do Hatarat Nedarim. So now, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we do Hatarat Nedarim in front of 10 men. For what purpose is that? It says, because Nidu Bechalom, Sarek Asara Ben Adam La'atilo. Generally, we know there's a concept of Divrei Chalomot Lo Moridim Velo Malim Velo Moridim. Anytime that a person has a dream, a normal person that has a dream, Divrei Chalomot Lo Malim Velo Moridim, has no significance. Dreams have no significance. Whether you have a dream. Let's say the Gemara has an example. I might have mentioned it before. The Gemara has an example. Let's say the person's father's neshama comes to a person's dream, in a dream, and he tells him, listen, over here next to his grave, in that location, would be, let's say, $1,000. Let's say 10 of them are 50, this amount is 20, that amount is 10, and at the end is exactly 1,000. Says, however, $300 of it belongs to, let's say, Beit HaMikdash. $700 is for you. So the Gemara says, nothing doing. You go and you locate the exact amount, the exact number that his father said. At the end of the day, none of it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, being Divrei Chalomot, Lo Ma'alim Velo Moridim, words that come to you in dreams. Let's say any type of halachic decision, not only halachic decision, any type of decision. Let's say a person comes in his dream and he has a dream that whatever meat he has in his refrigerator and freezer, even though he bought it from a glad kosher place, is all taref. Halachically, he could all eat it. There's no, unless a person is Sadiq Gamur. Other than that, divrei chalomot lo ma'alim velo moridim. Halachically, the words that comes to a person in a dream has no significance. Divrei chalomot lo ma'alim velo moridim cannot change the halacha and the status of whatever it was. Nothing gets to be changed. To the extent that there's this interesting teshuva by Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer is Harav Eliezer Waldenberg, passed away a couple of years ago. So he writes that, let's say a person had a dream that he counted Sefirat HaOmer in his dream. And then he wakes up and says, yes, tonight, 10 minutes ago, I counted it in my dream. He says, Tzitz Eliezer says, that you could count it and you should count it again with a beracha. Because even if you counted it in your dream has no significance. If a person has a dream, let's say he put his head on the table, had a dream that on the next table, whatever it is, or table next to him, there is a cup half full. And whatever it is, let's say it was orange juice. And in his dream, he said, Shakol Yom Yitbaro. But he never drank it before, prior to the time that he dozed off and he went to sleep, let's say, either on the table or on the bed, doesn't matter. So at the end of the day, so the halacha is, says to Tzitz Eliezer, that you, in your dream, you said Shakol Yom Yitbaro and you drank half of the cup of whatever it was. So, but the ma'asem, when you wake up, you don't say another bracha. Assuming prior to the time that you went to sleep, you didn't say the bracha. So you did not say the bracha. You had a cup next to you. You went to sleep. You woke up. You had a dream that a few minutes ago you said Shakol. In your dream, Shakol in your dream, is assumed that you didn't say anything. Divrei chalomot lo ma'alim velo moridim has no significance. So you have to say another shakol. What you said in your dream has no significance. It's as if you didn't say it. So you have to say it now. The exception to the rule would be niduhu b'chalom. If they excommunicate you in your dream, that's a very severe thing. That it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be that is not pleased with you. And therefore put the guy in excommunication. So therefore you need hatara. So for this you need 10. So that's why we recommend that there should be 10 people standing, 10 people sitting at a time, that the individuals who say it have to be in a standing position, in order that these types of dreams should also be able to be cancelled. So, okay, next. Tefillot Rosh Hashanah. We know that in general, each person and each community is supposed to pray according to their minhagim. That is, Shema Beni Musa Ravicha Val Titosh Torah Dimech. That Shalom Melech says, that listen, my son, to Musa, the discipline of your father, Val Titosh Torah Dimech, and do not depart from the Torah of your mother. Which basically from here we learn that each custom is, as long as customs come with approval of the rabbis, each custom has its significance, and the custom is supposed to be kept and preserved and transmitted to the next generation, and it's supposed to be kept. So a person cannot just, when it comes to minhagim, let it go. So the same would be when it comes to Yemei, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippurim. Each community is supposed to try to preserve their own tradition. So that is why, let's say, even if the rest of the year a person is not as careful, when it comes to Yemei, Rosh Hashanah, and Yemei, Yom Kippurim, each community is obligated to pray according to their own minhagim. They are supposed to provide, Rice Rav Ovadia, tefillot according to their ancient customs. So anyway, So he says that in general we know on the day of Rosh Hashanah there is not supposed to be any blowing of the shofar. Rosh Hashanah is not, it's not supposed, during the blowing of the shofar it's not supposed to be for tachanuni. The day of Rosh Hashanah is only to listen to the shofar, and you are not supposed to say vidui, no vidui, no nothing. The person is just supposed to listen, to fulfill the mitzvah of listening, and you are not supposed to request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, use the time and opportunity for prayers during the time that they are blowing. You are just supposed to be listening to the lishmoa kol shofar. That's the beracha. Lishmoa kol shofar means you are obligated to listen to the kol shofar. So during the time, sometimes a person is, let's say, individuals might be praying. For what? Then you don't fulfill. You are not supposed to pray. You are supposed to, at that moment, keep quiet and listen. And then fulfill the mitzvah. For men, is a mitzvah that's a deoraita. And that's what they have to have kavanah, that you are interested to fulfill that mitzvah. By women, it becomes, being that if they did it for a couple of times, three times, it becomes mitam neder. Because it becomes like a neder that they are obligated also to fulfill it. But anyway, so he says, "Ein lehid vadot b'yom Rosh Hashanah." On the day of Rosh Hashanah, a person is not supposed to say viduyim, no supplications, no asking for Hashem for forgiveness. As I mentioned, there are a few reasons. It's the day that the person is supposed to accept God's kingship over himself, but not the day of supplication. And that's why we mentioned before that it's not a day that a person is supposed to do the mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha. Does apply that we have to be happy. Therefore, a person is not supposed to bring himself to shed tears on the day of Rosh Hashanah, days of Rosh Hashanah. Just the opposite. You are supposed to be happy. Only day that would be exception would be Yom Kippurim, but not Rosh Hashanah. And if, however, let's say if a person through the tefillah, he cannot control himself, he becomes emotional, he or she, I might shed tears, okay, no, leave it. But in general, a person is not supposed to bring himself to the level, to cry and shed tears. So, and to the extent that a person is going to be saying vidui, what's the problem with that? So we don't want to lessen the level of the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king over Rishayim. So we don't mention any chet. And even if a person takes a look, and in certain machzorim they have, between the tekiot of Tashrat to Tashat, and Tashat to Tarat, they pause for a couple of seconds, for certain viduim is not supposed to be said. It's supposed to be followed with the person's eyes, that it enters the person's mind, that these averot, if I did them, I regret, and I want to do teshuva, but I cannot talk. I feel between the tekiot you cannot. The next time they were allowed to talk, they do 30 tekiot before Musaf, 30 tekiot during Shemun Esrei of Musaf, Lachash of Musaf, by Sephardim this is our custom. And I believe also by Hasidim this is their custom. By Ashkenazim they do during the Chazara. So, but anyway, by us 30 during, before 30 before Musaf, 30 during Lachash of Musaf, 30 during the Chazara of Musaf, 10 by Qaddish, Titkabal, and 1 at the end of Aleinu. So it becomes 101. But this 101 is only whenever there is Tefillah B'tzibur, whenever there is a congregation of 10. However, when there is only 9, 5, 2, 3, all what you have to do for them is tear the qulut. And also the same thing would be, I feel for by a woman. That a woman, every year she has been going. This year she cannot come. So you should try to get somebody to come to your house. Or by a man, he cannot attend a synagogue function. You should try to either go to somebody else, or you should try to ask the Baal Tokeh to come to you to blow the shofar. Okay. Next, Nekuda, he says that in general, when it comes to the night of Rosh Hashanah, one additional point would be Mekadesh HaMelech HaKadosh. Instead of Ha'el HaKadosh, the 10 days we change to HaMelech HaKadosh. That there is no question about it, that all the 10 days that has to be. And if a person recognizes that he made a mistake, Tochkei Dibur, you're supposed to fix it. Ha'el HaKadosh, HaMelech HaKadosh. Tochkei Dibur is the time that it takes to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Okay? So, anyway, so this is the... but there are also four additional inserts. Zohrim l'chaim elech hafetz b'chaim, or... Kotvenu b'sefer chaim. These four additional sentences that we add. So if that one he forgot, and he said Baruch Atah Hashem, he doesn't need to repeat. If he didn't say Baruch Atah Hashem yet, so he goes to the location and says it. The inserts he does say. But if he already said the name of Hashem, let it go. Now, the night of Rosh Hashanah and also Yom Kippurim is not supposed to be that a person says Mekadesh Yisrael Vahzmanim. Mekadesh Yisrael Vahzmanim, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael Vahzmanim is only for Yomim Tovim. Although it is Yom HaZikaron. So therefore, if you don't say Yom HaZikaron, the day of remembrance, the day of judgment, if you don't end the Baruch Al this way, you would not be Yotze. So a person is supposed to repeat. If you remember right away, every time you could fix it, talk to the Dibur. Yom Mekadesh Yisrael Vahzmanim, you change it to right away talk to the Dibur to Yom HaZikaron. But if it passed a second or two, then you have to go back to the beginning of the Beracha. Mahsor says Yom HaZikaron. There is also an additional point besides the four inserts. Hamelech HaKadosh, during the week there is going to be Hamelech HaMishpat instead of Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat. There is Oseh HaShalom Bimrumav. Instead of Oseh HaShalom Bimrumav, you're supposed to say Oseh HaShalom. HaShalom is the name of one of the Malachim that takes care of the judgment of during this time. He says, HaMalach Hu HaSofer LeKotev El Bnei Adam BeSefer HaChaim. This is the Malach's name through the Gematria that is going to write our name in Sefer HaChaim, the Book of the Living. So therefore we say Oseh HaShalom. When do we say it? Either by Shemun Este, Shacharit Mincha Narvit, or by Kaddish Tit Kabal. That's only two times that we do say it. Any other time is Oseh HaShalom. And also, as we know, those people who change the Kaddish to Le'ella Le'ella is also not our custom. We only say it Sefaradim, Eino Nagim Keno, Ve'omrim Le'ella Rak Pamachad. We only say it one time anyway, not twice. We don't change. But there is another thing that when you say Hayom, the person is not supposed to add in the certain part of the Tefillah during the Chazara, says, Vatem Advikim Hashem Elohechem, Chayim Kulechem Hayom. Hayom te'ammetzenu, etc. Hayom te'barechenu. He says, don't say Hayom tichtevenu lechaim tovim u'shalom. Don't say Hayom tichtevenu, referring to the day of Rosh Hashanah. Because in order to be able to, today, you should be written and sealed, you should either be a Sadiq Gamur or Rasha Gamur. You cannot be considered to be Sadiq Gamur. If a person considers himself to be Sadiq, you never do teshuvah, you never improve your ways, nothing. That's why I'm Sadiq anyway. What is there to be improved? I'm the best that I could be. I cannot change. This is the way I am. And that's the way it's going to remain. So a person who is Sadiq Gamur can never change. So, and a Rasha also, on the day of Rosh Hashanah, Rasha Gamur is also going to be finished. So on a Rasha Gamur, however, that also a person is going to say, Al Tiyeh Rasha Bifnei Atzmecha. The Mishnah says you should not consider yourself to be a Rasha. Because if a person considers himself to be a Rasha, you automatically will not do Teshuvah. In order to be able to do teshuvah, a person has to have self-esteem. A Rasha doesn't have a self-esteem. So therefore, I cannot be considered to be Rasha, and I cannot be considered to be a tzaddik. So therefore, if you are not a tzaddik, you are not a Rasha, what are you? Beinoni. By a Beinoni, you need aseret yemei teshuvah to be able to perfect yourself in Torah, teshuvah, ma'asim tovim, and mainly it's going to be teshuvah, to be able to be zoche badin on Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah is only the beginning. It's not going to be Hayom today, writing and finishing. So therefore a person has to recognize that by us is Teluim ve'umdin. Our case, a person is a Beinoni, his case is going to be hanging all the way till till the Yom Kippurim. So this is the, he says, Bechazara, Keshomer, Vatemad Vekim, Ein Lomar Hayom Tichteven Lechaim Tovim. Don't say this, because of these two reasons. You know, so I think Yitzchak Rebbe used to say that I was discussing, you cannot consider yourself to be Sadiq, and you cannot consider yourself to be a Rasha. A person is supposed to consider himself to be Beinoni. Beinoni means in between the two. So it's very interesting, Nekuda, that Harav Kotzke Rebbe used to say, that he says, I rather be considered to be, I rather deal with a Rasha that knows he's a Rasha, than with a Tzaddik that knows he's a Tzaddik. A Rasha that knows he's a Rasha, that means I consider myself guilty. I know there is room for improvement. So therefore, I will try to change. However, this is a Rasha that knows he's a Rasha. But if a Tzaddik that knows he's a Tzaddik, by that individual, so he says, I'm a Tzaddik, what do you expect? There is no room for improvement anyway. So therefore, a Rasha that knows he's a Rasha, there is much more room for improvement than a Tzaddik that knows that he's a Tzaddik. Anyway, the halacha is that we are supposed to consider ourselves Beinoni. So therefore, by a Beinoni, we have the 10 days of Teshuvah to be able to improve ourselves. Okay, we should be Zohar.